Father, thank you so much for your word. It's such a delight to us. It thrills our hearts. It feeds our souls. It shows us the light for our path and leads us all the way to eternal life. So thank you so much for your word, which liberates us and shows us Jesus and gives us joy. And we've heard words today which are a hard road, but it's a good road and a road we delight to walk on for our good and for your glory. So as we hear one last time the word of God expounded, we pray that we might be hearers of your word and doers for Jesus' sake. Amen. I live in Melbourne, in the inner city of Melbourne, and one of the delights of that is you ride the trams from time to time. If you've been to Melbourne, you might know in the CBD of Melbourne, it's a free tram zone. You can ride the trams all around the inner city free of charge. Sadly, our apartment is one stop outside the free tram zone. It's just one stop. And you hardly ever see, on that little few hundred yards, you hardly ever see a tram inspector. Hardly ever. So the odds are very good, actually, if you don't tap on and tap off. And it's one stop. I shop down at my local Coles. And they have this, don't they? This automatic checkout. You just put your food and veggies on the thing. And I mean, if you can get by and not get caught in a tram, it is so easy to rip off Coles or Woolies. It is so. One trick, quite common, is you take an expensive item like a mango and tap in carrot. It's great. Because carrots cost nothing. Mangoes cost a fortune. Just call it a carrot. Just call a mango a carrot. It's so easy. They did a survey of 50 uni students. 38 said they rip off the supermarkets. At 75% of uni students say they rip them off. And I reckon not just uni students. Coles and Woolies lost in 2011, they lost $7.5 billion to theft. $7.5 billion. But you'd be glad to know that I do tap on and tap off, even in one stop. And you'd be glad to know that I call a mango. Not a watermelon, I call it a mango. Not because I've learned, really, that honesty is the best policy, but because I believe in God. I wonder sometimes, if I didn't believe in God, how I would be different. Well, I know how I would. But I believe in God, a God who sees me, what I do, and will hold me to account. And I think you're the same. I trust you're the same. We believe in a God who sees all things. So I try to be real. Our Lord's theme in these verses that you've seen is the theme of hypocrisy. You know, I just think Jesus saves his most stinging rebukes for the hypocrites. His most vehement attacks, again and again, are on the hypocrites, mainly the Pharisees. Those whitewashed tombs who pretend to be spiritual, but inside are just death warmed up. He despises them. He despises them. And if you've been a victim of hypocrisy, if there's someone you trusted who proved to be a liar, a betrayer, a con person, it hurts deeply. I remember meeting a girl some years ago at a conference in Katoomba. She was handing out the food, and I saw her name tag. I knew her dad. I said, "Oh, his dad's in ministry." I said, "How's your dad?" She said, and I won't forget this, she said to me, "He's evil, you know. He's evil, you know." I just made some silly comment like, "Oh, yeah, he's quite a character." She's about 16. She said, "No, he's not. He's evil." I see the guy you don't see. And let me tell you, Mr. Mike, he's not what you think. Those words sent shivers down my spine. Too. And for them, those guys, for most anyway, they placed a separation between the heart and the life, what you saw and what they are, a disjunction between the world you observe and the world inside. He says true righteousness is from the heart. It's a righteousness of the intention and the action. And the key word here is our word for today, it's integrity. There is an integration between the words of the mouth, the thought of the heart, and the deeds of the life. What you see in me, what you hear from my mouth, is what's in the heart. I'm for real. And I just feel this so deeply as a preacher. And I'm sure Ray does too, and other guys here. That you hear us preach and you get impressions and you make assumptions. I'm so keen that what you hear from my mouth today is what I am. God forbid, on the last day, that I'm shown to be a sham. With a real deal, as men, with a real deal. And all he says is summed up in the first verse. First of all, the warning. It's a sober one. Be careful not to do your righteousness before people with the aim of being seen by them, being impressed by them. And then the terrifying consequence. If you live for people's acclaim, if you live to please them, that you might impress them, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Then he gives three simple examples. The three key deeds of the Jewish life. Praying, giving to the poor, fasting. But you can add 50 things to this. When you come to a men's day at MBM, when you teach Sunday school, when you lead your cell group, when you go on the short-term mission trip, when you sit in the church council, when you stack up the chairs after church, when you preach, don't do these things to be seen by people. Now, they're all good things. They're all very good things. It's not what you do, it's why you do it and who you do it for. And he paints these almost cartoon-like pictures of the prayers who blow a trumpet. Da, 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 watch me, I'm praying. Now, that's not how it normally happens, but it's exaggeration. Or the givers. The givers stand, or the prayers, on the street corners. So you can all see them praying. Or those who fast, they so disfigure their faces. When you see them, you know they're fasting. They tell the whole world they're fasting. Now, of course, these are cartoon-like. In reality, hypocrisy is much more subtle than that. But it's exaggeration to make an impact. So the remedy, again, is exaggerated. When you give, don't let your left hand know what the right one's doing. It's almost like you're on autopilot. You're watching MKR, and while you're writing with your left hand, the check to your missionary. You're almost unconscious about it. It's just saying, your focus is so much on God and the one you're giving to, you're unaware of other things. And when you pray, you go to, there's an extreme, you go to the wardrobe. Sit in the clothes in the wardrobe. So that's the last place people think to find you praying. And when you fast because your soul is weighed down. There's a serious issue in your life. So you see, it's a time of sobriety. So what do? Oh, put on your tux. Get a haircut. Slash on the brute 33. So folks see you, they think, hey, he's going to a party. They'd never think for a moment that you're fasting. That's the point is, you're doing it for God. It's why you do it. Not so much what you do. It's who you do it for. It is the life lived. And I love this expression, and you've heard it before. It's the life lived before the audience of one. I give to God. I pray to God. I fast for God. As I said, I always feel very public when I come to these things. You're watching me and Ray and Dan making assessments. You're 300 guys. In 2 hours, I'll go back to my room at Ray's house. And really nothing has changed. Because both here and there, the same audience, the one that counts, is watching me. reality, nothing has changed. I don't preach primarily for you. I preach to him. That's what he means by give secretly. Pray secretly. Fast secretly. Stack the church chairs secretly. Go on your short-term mission trip secretly. Run your youth group secretly. Lead Bible study secretly. Do all these things before the audience of one. It's about who we do it for before God. And then the sober consequence. Because if you live your whole life for men's approval, no reward from the Father. And the word reward here is from the world of commerce. It means a wage. You've got your wage. Paid in full, nothing more. That's why the Pharisees do it, to receive the acclaim of men. Men's esteem. To get a good reputation. To be thought well of. Well, guys, you got it. And nothing left. If that's why I preach. That's why I do what I do. They'll think Mike's a good speaker. That's why I do it. And they say, wasn't he a good speaker? Paid in full. Nothing left. If I speak that one day Ray Bill did MBM, the Mike wrote a preaching center. Well, guys live here and think, wow, what a guy. Honey, if you have another son, boy, we're going to call him Michael. If that's why I do it, that's my whole reason for doing it. When I get to heaven, expecting to be received, he says, take him away. I don't know him. Take me away? God, I work my guts out for you. 80 hours a week, I prepared those sermons. Do you know how hard I worked for you? Not for me. You did it for you, boy. There's the video. What a good preacher he is. There it is, the Microwave Preaching Center, right next to the toilets at MBM. There it is. There's that boy born in November 2016 called Michael. You wanted that? You got it, boy, and nothing left. All you did for you, for the acclaim of people. But if you live your life with integrity, if what people see is the man who's real, I'll commend you. And for me as a preacher, you as a Bible study leader or youth group leader, when I'm preaching, I look into the eyes of my four kids and my wife, and I'm not ashamed at what I see. Because they know the real person. This is a great passage. I just find this so liberating. I mean, to be a slave to the thoughts of people, as a preacher, it's oppressive. I'm free to preach a dud talk. What a relief. I'm free to do that. I don't try to, but I'm free to. If you go away and say, well, he wasn't as good as I thought he would be, that's fine. Because in a sense, I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what he thinks. I'm free to say around the table, guys, I struggle with lust. Guys, I'm a porn addict. I'm free to say that. We are free to say that. So please help me. I'm free to say, as I did, I struggle with greed. Please don't put me on a pedestal with being generous. Don't do that, please. I would be so embarrassed. I'm free to say that. Because I'm not a captive to your thoughts and opinions. I live before God. And his words alone on the last day matter. His words alone. It's wonderfully freeing. I worked in Pakistan for 11 years and for some years in a remote city called Attock. It was off the main road and we had no visitors. Hardly anybody comes to Pakistan to visit you. And we lived there for some years by ourselves, just one couple as colleagues. And I thought for a while, I could live a pretty cozy life here. Didn't take long to prepare lectures for the Pakistani students. Just take it easy. Write my prayer letter, you know, the all-conquering missionary hero in Pakistan. You all think I'm a hero. I could take life easy here, and I could do. But I didn't. Because I lived my life before the all-seeing eyes of God. I have over my life a three-word banner. It's been there for 30 years and served me well. The three words are this: judgment, day, integrity. Judgment, day, integrity. I live now in the light of that day. I live as a husband, as a father, as a preacher, in the light of that day. Just read Revelation 2 and 3. The last thing I want to hear from my father on that day is, "Mike, you're a faithful preacher. Mike, you handle my Bible, my word, well. But Mike, I have this against you. You spoke of being generous, but you didn't do it. Mike, I have this against you. You spoke of purity, but I saw your thoughts. I saw the screen. I have this against you. I don't want to hear that. I'm accepted, received, but I want to hear from my Lord the unqualified endorsement. Mike, by my grace and by my power, you walked a life of integrity. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I live for that. I live to hear those words from the Father." So I tap on and I tap off. I call a mango a mango. I play straight with the tax man. I watch what I watch on the computer. I'm careful with my money. I love my wife to the day I die. I teach my kids the Word of God. That what you see is what there is. I heard a statement yesterday, it's famous in Texas, about someone in Texas, that he's all hat and no cattle. They called George W. Bush one time all hat, all Stetson, and no cattle. Not a real Texan. Well, I want us men to be all hat and herds of cattle. Men of integrity. I want to pray for you now that we'll all be that. And we'll live each day before the all-watching eyes of God and hear those great words. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us. And made us new. And you've cleansed us to live lives for your glory. You've given us your Spirit that bears the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. You give us the church to serve in and to bless. And you've called us to live lives of integrity. And Father, we want to do that. We long to be men with our thoughts, our words, our deeds, who please you and bless others. So I just pray for me and for us today that the evil one won't snatch these words away. That we'll go from here, resolved to please you in all we do. That we walk the path of righteousness to that last day when we stand before you, clothed in Christ's forgiveness. Yet hearing again the words, "Above all we long to hear." Well done, Dave. Well done, Jim. Well done, Andrew. Well done, Luke. Well done, Tony. Well done, Ray. Well done, Mike. Good and faithful servants. Come receive the inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So keep us, Father, persevering with integrity until that day for the blessing of your people and world and the glory of the one who gave himself for us. And all God's people said, Amen.